Shanti, 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 peace. Good evening. It is a pleasure to be with you once again. Welcome. Peace be with you. Most of us are aware intellectually that we are not the body nor the mind, that the world as we see it and know it does not exist, everything that we believe in to be solid and true or a lie, yet we only understand this intellectually. This is why we do spiritual practices. For great masters and great sages have explained to us that to the extent you cause the mind to be quiet, the dogs to be quiet, everything to be quiet, to that extent you start to realize something else. It happens by itself. In other words, as the mind slows down, this illusory universe slows down also. And you start to pick up a new vibration. You start to feel something else entirely, something different. Yet, while you're on this path, something happens to you. You begin to feel different. If you've been practicing self-inquiry, if you've been practicing any other method to slow the mind down, you will find certain attributes happening to you. And this is when you know that you're making progress. This is when you realize that you're making progress. The first understanding you receive is that there is absolutely nothing to fear in this entire universe. You start to become fearless. I don't mean you become an idiot and you don't care about anything and you make a fool out of yourself and you say, I'm fearless. You stand in front of a bus or you run in front of a car. I'm not referring to being foolish. But the fact is you do become fearless. You're beginning to realize that the whole universe emanates out of your mind. So there's absolutely nothing to fear because you are the one. You are the ultimate oneness. The creative energy. This is you. Consequently, there's absolutely nothing to fear. For what can hurt you? The universe becomes your friend, not your enemy. Everything in this world becomes friendly towards you. You find that things begin to work themselves out. people no longer bother you, frighten you. You begin to understand your real nature. You were never born, you can never die. Something appears to happen to you when you just become fearless. Everything unfolds where it's supposed to unfold. There are no mistakes. You feel someplace in your heart that nothing is trying to hurt you. Even when things do not appear to work out the way you want them to, you never become disappointed again, for you understand and feel that there's a power that knows the way, that takes care of you, watches over you, leads you on a straight and narrow path. So you become fearless, not obnoxious or cynical. It's not I don't care attitude. You have love. Wisdom. This is the reason you become fearless. There's a story that illustrates this. There was once a student going to class, and the teacher was explaining to him that he has nothing to fear. God will take care of him. The universe is his friend. And he became pretty ecstatic about this. When the class was over, he was walking down the back road to go to his house. There was a narrow bridge in front of him. And some man came running toward him from the opposite direction saying, "There's a herd of wild elephants coming your way. Get out of the way quick." And he stood his ground and he said, "What are you telling me this for? I have absolutely nothing to fear. Nothing can hurt me, nothing can do anything to me." And he kept walking on the bridge, fearless. Well, sure enough, the herd of wild elephants came along, and the first elephant picked him up and threw him 50 yards away. He was bleeding, broken bones. The master heard about this. One of the students came and told the master, "Master, your student is dying down the road. An elephant picked him up in his trunk and threw him against the tree." The master ran over to the student who was lying there and he said, "What happened?" The student explained to him what happened. And he said, "Master, you promised us that God will take care of us, the universe will take care of us. What happened? Why did this happen to me?" And the master said, "You foolish person. Why don't you listen to the person so you get out of the way? This was God also telling you to get out of the way. You should have listened." This is true with us. When I say that you're fearless, do not believe that your ego is going to protect you from harm. when you cause problems. Being fearless means that you listen to the trees, you listen to the sky, you listen to the birds, you listen to some people. Everything is God. Everything is the universe helping you. You have to use wisdom to be fearless. So remember, the first attribute that happens to you on the spiritual path is fearlessness. The next attribute that you feel when working on your sadhana, spiritual exercises, spiritual practices, is a sense of peacefulness. You begin to be totally peaceful. Things that used to disturb you will cease. What does not cease, you have grown higher and it doesn't disturb you any longer. People that used to disturb you, used to give you trouble, they can no longer make you feel angry or upset. You feel an innate peace. The peace which passes all understanding. You feel very peaceful in whatever you do. It's a beautiful peace. It's a wonderful feeling. You are at peace with the world, at peace with the universe. You have reconciled yourself with the entire universe, with the mineral kingdom, with the vegetable kingdom, with the animal kingdom, with the human kingdom. And you feel good about yourself. The third attribute that you develop is loving kindness. Without motive. You become a loving, kind person. For no reason at all. You do not think about it. You just become it. Selfishness drops away. The ego becomes less and less. You leave people alone. You do not become judgmental. You live spontaneously. A good example of this is about the two monks who were sent from the monastery to go buy supplies in the city. They were walking along the road, it was raining, there was mud all over the floor. They came to a street crossing, and they saw a beautiful young lady wanting to cross the street. But she had expensive shoes on and a little dress. So one of the monks picked her up and carried her across. The monks didn't wear any shoes, so it didn't matter. And he put it down on the other side, and he went back to his other monk friend, and they continued to the city to buy supplies for the monastery. They came back again, and it was time for dinner. When they sat down to eat, the other monk said, "You know, when we took these vows of celibacy, we were told never to look at a woman. If a woman comes by, we should lower our eyelids and not look at a woman. And you broke the rule. This morning you picked up the girl and you carried her across the street." So the other monk smiled at him and he said, I put her down this morning, but apparently you're still carrying her." This is what I'm referring to. To do what has to be done and forget it. Helping others, do not make a big deal out of it, just do it. Being of service to other people, do not think about it, just do it. As you practice your sadhana, these attributes become evident in your life without you even knowing it. If you have to think about these things, then you've not arrived there. If you have to think about fearlessness, peace, loving kindness, you have not arrived there yet. It is when these things become natural to you, when they become automatic, then you know you're making headway, you're making spiritual progress. These three attributes are the first signs of spiritual progress. If you do not have these attributes, it's simply because you're putting your ego first in your life. It is because you are in your own way. You're reacting to the world. You're allowing the world to make you despondent, upset. Therefore, you have to practice a little harder. We're always practicing something, aren't you? You're practicing your anger, or your disappointments, or your judgments. Or to be obnoxious. You're always doing something with your life. Therefore, why not practice peace, loving kindness, fearlessness? Why not understand the truth about yourself? There are many paths to self-realization. Atmavitra is only one of them. Whatever you have to do, do it. Do not spend your days and your weeks and your years and your months on nonsense. Remember, your body's been here for a long time. What you call your body will have to leave you one of these days. Then where will you be without a body? Therefore, if you're doing things for your body, it's like whipping a dead horse. You should take care of yourself, too. But not spend all too much time taking care of yourself. Do what has to be done, finish with it, and go forward. The more you think of God, the more God will think of you. How do you think of God? When you become peaceful. When you have loving kindness. When you're fearless. How do you become fearless, loving kindness, peaceful? By doing spiritual practices. Choose a spiritual practice that you can live with. Whether it's Buddhism, whether it's mystical Christianity, whether it's becoming the witness, becoming the observer of the I thought, whatever method you have to use, by all means use it, but do something. You are here in this body for no purpose whatsoever. Yet you believe that you're important, there's a reason for you to be here. Some people say, I'm here to find myself. I would say, you're here to lose yourself. Some people say, I've come here for a purpose. To become self-realized. Yet the truth is, there's no one here to become self-realized at all. Your body cannot become self-realized. This is why we have such a hard time with this. Because we're trying to make the body pure. This is a wrong start. We start from the top. We are already pure. We are already bright and shining. We are already choiceless, effortless, pure awareness. What we're trying to do is to reveal it. And you reveal it by losing yourself, getting rid of yourself. Not by adding new teachings onto yourself, or learning new dogma, but rather by letting go of everything. Especially words. We talk too much. This is one of the things that keeps us back from making a lot of progress in the path. We have a tendency to talk too much. We want to work things out. We want to explain things. Yet in reality, there's a power within you that knows what to do without your help. The power which knows the way does not need your help. It needs you to surrender to it. To let go completely and thoroughly. Then everything will take care of itself. Again, it's hard to understand how everything takes care of itself. For we've been taught we've got to do it. If we do not do it, it will not happen. We believe we've got to do it. And this makes you the doer. When in reality, we want to get rid of the doership. That you are not a doer. Ponder these things. There's no one to do anything. Yet you appear to be doing something. Do not be confused about this. Paradoxically, you will always be doing something. Yet in reality and truth, you'll be doing nothing. There's really no one who has to do anything. You did not ask to be born. So what gave you birth? It goes beyond your father and your mother. The truth is nothing gave you birth. Really, you were never born. See, these things I'm sharing with you sound ludicrous to some of you. You were never born, you're absolute reality. You're effortless, choiceless, pure awareness. You're boundless space. You have no body. Nothing that you do matters at all. I know to the average person it sounds ludicrous. Totally ridiculous. But yet this is the truth. This is the reason I take you down a couple of notches. to show you that as you progress on this path, you do in your humanhood find yourself becoming happier and happier, more peaceful. Things don't bother you as much. You take control of your life. And then I say, you have no life. There's nothing to take control of. There's nobody home. What a confusion this is. Yet, when your mind does get confused this way, thinking about these things, your mind becomes a little weaker. This is an important step. I'll repeat it. When your mind gets confused, thinking, am I not the body? Am I the body? Am I empty space? Just by pondering these questions within yourself, the mind begins to slow down. And this is exactly what you're trying to do, to slow down the mind. So be confused, it's good for you. It's a tremendous help for your unfolding. When you're not confused, you are simply attached to your beliefs, your preconceived ideas, your concepts, and your linear thinking. When you are confused, your linear thinking begins to break up. Your concepts begin to break up. Your values begin to break up. Everything that you believe and stood for begins to break up. Which means you're becoming free. And that's the whole idea, to become free. So when I speak to you from both levels, from an absolute level and from the relative point of view, you understand why I'm doing this, to confound you and confuse you, so the mind can be broken up to pieces, fragments, and totally disappear. Only when you have your own experience will you know that what I am saying is the truth. This is why I tell you so often, do not believe a word I say. Go out and have your own experience. But then again, here's a contradiction. It is only when you come to satsang, when you find a teacher who has gone that way, that you can have your own experience. There are very few people who have had a personal realization without a teacher, without satsang. Yet it's possible. But the satsang and the sage that really ruin your mind, screw up your entire mind, make you mentally deficient, which is a blessing in disguise. when some of you walk out of here, you tell me, you've got me completely confused now. And I say, good. That's what my job is. To confound you, to confuse you. To break up your mind into fragments. My job is not to tell you the things you like to hear. My job is to hit a nerve someplace within you that makes you think that guy is crazy, he's out of his mind. What is he talking about? That's when you're starting to make spiritual progress. When you totally agree with me, this is a hindrance to your spiritual path. I am not asking you to agree with me. I am asking you to have your own experience and to find the truth for yourself. Think of the experiences you've been having in your life. From the moment you open your eyes in the morning until you go to sleep at night. What goes through your mind? What do you feel? What do you see? What do you believe in? What is happening to you every day? The worst thing you can do in the morning is turn on the TV and read the newspaper. That's the worst thing you can do. The best thing you can do in the morning is when you wake up is to ask yourself, who am I? And what am I doing here? The worst thing you can do at night before you go to sleep is to think about your job or your family or your finances or your sicknesses or your all the other things that's been going through your life. The best thing you can do before you go to sleep or when you're sleeping, going to sleep, is to inquire to whom do these activities come. To whom have the day's activities come? Who has experienced these day's activities? So you see, it's up to you to do the right thing. Wherever you go in this world, you still have to take yourself. And no one can transcend your mind but you. No one can cause self-realization but you. No one can awaken you but you. You are the one. The world really has nothing to offer you. Your dreams have nothing to offer you. Look to yourself. Look to eternity within yourself. Learn to love yourself. When you're loving yourself, you're loving the universe. When the self is the whole universe. When I say to love yourself, I'm not referring to your small self, your ego self. I'm referring to your real self. Learn to love yourself. There is absolutely nothing wrong anywhere in this universe. And that includes your life. Do not react to conditions. Be happy. Always. Do not look for things to make you happy. Just be happy. Everything you own, you're going to have to leave when you leave your body. Look to yourself. Everything begins with you. And you are the one. And there is no other. Feel free to ask questions. No one gets any percent until you ask questions. Say something. What was that? So ask a profound question.
You get Brissard, man. You broke the spell.
Ask a profound question.
Why not?
Good question.
You never need it anyway.
So. And I think of going on the path to enlightenment feels like a very long moment of struggle. And it seems like my thinking is wrong somewhere. It feels like that.
That's a good question. You have to inquire who feels like that. Who is the one who feels that it's a long struggle? To whom is it a long struggle? See, the truth is that you already realize. In your heart of hearts, you know that you're free already. Therefore, it's the ego that thinks it's a long struggle. The ego tries to fool you. It makes you think about a long struggle and you'll never get there. But hold on to the truth that you're already there. There's nowhere to get. There's no one to struggle. And go beyond the ego. There are many ways to do this. When the sword comes to you, this is a long struggle, it's a long path. Take a look at the question that came to you that makes you see this, that makes you say this to yourself, and have a good hearty laugh. Laugh at this. I'm not afraid of you. And keep still and laugh at yourself again. If you keep on doing this, you will unfold at a very fast rate of speed. So again, whenever the question comes to your mind, the thought, it's a long struggle, I have to do a lot of work, immediately catch yourself. Do not continue along that line of thinking. Catch yourself very fast. Stop that kind of thinking. By immediately inquiring, to whom do these thoughts come? Who feels it's a long job, a long journey? And keep still. Stop. That's how you overcome that.
Wanted
us
to share.
Yes.
Okay, it's something that I learned not too long ago. Lord Krishna at one time or another stated that each of the three main paths, knowledge, devotion, and service, are the best, or is the best. And it's been said that he made these statements out of his magnificent compassion. And he also said something that I think is especially beautiful. He said, in whatever way men love me, in that same way they find my love. For many other pairs of men, but they all in the end come to me.
Yes, friend. Very true.
So good, man.
the observer, the observed is the same. And just to get clear, is that meaning that everything the observed is observing is his own projection?
Exactly.
So it's all coming out of my mind. All my, whatever I see is my own thing.
True. Always think of
it. I'm creating all the thoughts. The whole thing is coming from me, it's myself.
It's all coming from you. Look at yourself again as a mirror. And the mirror cannot see itself. It sees a reflection of the self, which is the world. So we're all mirrors and we're all seeing our reflection. Consequently, whatever you see is yourself. So if you see hate and malice and all kinds of nonsense in this world, that's where you're coming from right now. You're seeing this. Because you're seeing yourself. But as you grow, and as the mirror becomes polished and clean, you start to see a new image. You start to see in the imperfection, you see perfection. In the chaos and confusion, you see love and harmony. Because the dust has been polished off the mirror. And seeing a true picture. Say that again.
Is it always the mind that
you also mind that sees? Yes. Yes, it is the mind. The mind becomes washed, so to speak, in the beginning. It becomes clear, and the mind causes you to see harmony and joy. But in the end, the mind goes also, and there's no one to see anything. Now in a completely new dimension. When the mind goes, there's no clarity, there's no disharmony. There's no good, there's no bad. There's no God, there's no devil. The mind is the one that causes these things to happen. So when you start seeing good things in this world, and it's the mind that sees the good things, that's a very high step. But in less analysis, the mind has to be totally annihilated, totally wiped out, totally killed. And then there's no one to see anything. And then you become bliss, consciousness, pure awareness. By confusing the mind so it breaks up into fragments, into pieces.
It is
relative confusion, yes. But as you grow spiritually, the relative confusion goes into a higher realm. When the mind begins to break up the relative confusion, and as this harmony plus the harmony begins to disappear. As the mind sees these things disappearing, you go higher and higher in your unfoldment until the mind disappears in its entirety.
So you're making progress when you begin to see beauty and harmony.
Yes. When you realize that everything is from the mind, everything emanates from the mind, beauty, harmony, hate, evil, it's all two sides of the same coin. Yet beyond the relative beauty, beyond the relative evil, beyond the relative goodness and joy, there lies something more beautiful and more joyous than you can ever imagine. There are no words to express it, to explain it. You have to express it for yourself. There is a joy beyond the joy of relativity that no human being can express. For the finite can never express the infinite. We have to go beyond words, beyond mind, beyond thoughts, beyond everything we've ever known. And then we become that. Then there are no longer no explanations. There's nothing we have to do. There's nothing we have to explain. We have just become that. Satchitananda. The absolute reality. But the mind has to be totally wiped out for that to happen.
How do you wipe out the mind?
By looking at the mind. Watch the mind, observe the mind, what appears to be the mind. Watch what it does. Watch how it thinks. By not reacting to it. Observing it. Looking at it. But never reacting to it. Or inquiring to whom does the mind come? Who has this mind? Where did it come from? Who gave it birth? I did, then who am I? By observing your thoughts. As anger comes to you, as peace comes to you, as all these relative things come to you, you just watch without reacting. Then the mind becomes weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker until it finally dissolves. And you're home free. But the moment you react to anything, you spoil it. Father refers to God.
Yeah.
I refers to the small self. When you say I and the Father are one, it means the small self has merged into the universal self. And you're free.
How about we still know that I'm like when you're right? That, I mean,
good. That's great. You're making good progress.
But no, the only thing that makes sense to me is when I'm silent by myself or silent here with you, and I just have to be still and know that I'm God, and nothing else is making sense.
Well, that suffices. That's good. If you can be still and know that you are God, that's great.
But I forget it. When I'm walking around, I forget. But when I'm silent, I forget.
You forget it because you're not practicing, are you?
No. I mean, I meditate and I pray in the morning and in the night. You know, in my own way. I don't have a certain practice. I've never studied it.
See, if we were together like in an ashram and you saw me every day, then there would be nothing at all that you have to do but sit there and sit there. And that would suffice. But I only have you about 4 hours, 5 hours a week. Some of you less than that. And the world has you the rest of the time. This is why you have to diligently practice self-inquiry or observation of the mind. You have to be your own teacher. That's why you have the transcripts. And it's good to read these transcripts before you go to sleep at night. Also, when you get up in the morning, it'll give you these ideas that we're talking about here. Grab onto those ideas that you read in the transcript and carry it with you for the day. For an example, you read in the transcript that you have to ask yourself, who am I? Continuously. The transcript will remind you. And then you put down the transcript and you do it. When you're getting dressed, when you're washing the dishes, when you're going to work, when you come home, you keep repeating to yourself, who am I? Even when you're working, it will not interfere with your work. Keep inquiring continuously, who am I? Who is doing this work? Who feels this and who feels that? It is the I, not me. Then who am I? Or what is the source of the I? And keep inquiring like this all day long. Then after a while something will break. And you'll begin to feel peaceful, as we discussed in the beginning. You'll begin to become fearless, peaceful. You will develop loving kindness. Then you know you're making progress. Mary, would you read the ending?
For a Yani who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchidananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the Yani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth, but remains where he is and what he is, and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. while living, and even when the body falls dead, the Yani rests in his own essential nature, his own Svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a Yani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. A Yani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not, for he is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchidananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, Mary. Do we have any announcements?
Yes, I do.
It is satsang time to eat.